welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, just want to share a really exciting word God's put in my heart. I'm going to race through a lot of scriptures. It's not going to be a long word. Don't worry, there's a lot of scriptural content if you want to write them down. But listen, this is a life-changing word. It's a life-changing word if you take hold of it. It's changed my life. Again, it's brought the miraculous into my life. And it has literally transformed my prayer life to bring the results that God desires for us to have. And the Lord put this back in my heart again recently because he reminded me, and so often we can get out of the way of what I'm just going to share about. And I had got out of the way of this, and the Lord had just reminded me of the authority that he's placed within me, and particularly the authority that he's placed on my speaking, on my words. Andrew was talking there at the end, just as we were coming to the Lord's table, declaring that word of your testimony. We overcome by the word of your testimony. And there are circumstances that come against your life. You know them. There are circumstances that come against my life, and I know them. And against all of us, these circumstances are multitude and many. But God has created and designed us to be able to overcome them through the method that he has given us. And it is actually, again, so simple to understand it. We're going to talk about the power of our words and how God has created it to be powerful. And remember, as we look at this, we are created in God's image. Everything that God does, we are designed to follow in his footsteps, to follow and be like him. And so I want to just give you this analogy that, you know, I was in Africa one time, and I remember that I came to this game reserve, and there was these lions, and I hadn't realized that I was still in the game reserve. I thought I was out of the boundary of the game reserve when I wound down all the windows and had my arm out of the car, and I was actually armed with the car like this here, chatting to the person beside me, and I literally looked down, and about where that chair is, there was a pride of lions chewing on half a buffalo. Only that they were distracted, my arm remained in one piece. And later on, I got a real sense. If anybody has seen lions up close, you know, different to the TV, you hear the noise that comes out of the guttural, it's just scary. You've got to respect and power of that beast, of that lion. He is named the King of the Jungle for a very happy reason. And the size of the jaws, I know they're not, there's other animals, there's crocodiles and hyenas that have higher biting force than lions, but the lions, I'll never forget the crunching of the bones. The sheer power, the sheer authority that was in those jaws. That's what I'm trying to bring my way. And then on the same trip, later on, a few weeks later, I can't remember how this happened, but I ended up being able to hold adolescent lions. So this weren't lion cubs. And I've actually got a photograph of me with an adolescent lion. That's a half-grown lion. And between baby and cub, like a lion teenager. And I just didn't want him to hit his teenage moves when I was 40. Because again, even though I was still a juvenile, the power. And I knew that even though this was the son or the daughter of some lion, it had the same DNA in it. It had the same biting power, it had the same automatic function, that if it wanted to, it can grab hold of my arm and do serious damage, because regardless of its age, it is a lion. And you and I are created in God's image. And this is maybe good, isn't it? You and I are created in God's image. So regardless of whether you feel it or you don't feel it, if there is authority and power in God's words, which we're going to see, and that's where his authority is demonstrated. God doesn't have to wrestle anybody. God doesn't have to take the devil and see if he can win an arm wrestle. God just speaks and it's done. So just like that juvenile lion, we are the sons and daughters of God. So regardless of whether you feel it, don't feel it, regardless of whether you don't even realize it, that same authority is in your mouth. That same power is in your mouth. And that's where the answers lie. So words are so powerful. They literally, words in the physical realm, before we get on to the spiritual, words literally affect the physical realm. They affect matter. They cause physical changes to take place. That's why words can be recorded. That's why my voice can be recorded right now, because there's vibrations that go out, physical vibrations, and we can record that. You can't record thoughts. And so often as Christians, we get into a thought-based Christianity when difficulty comes against us. We think, oh, I wish this. And we start to think, or we get into self-pity, and we go quiet. And all the time, it's the enemy is doing everything in his power to get you to ignore the greatest weapon, like the lion has, which is that jaw, to ignore your greatest weapon, which is your words and your mouth and your authority. And if he can get you into thinking, get you into silence, get you into inactivity, then that's when the problems, the things against our life, they will remain and get worse. But our words literally can affect change. Their vibrations can be felt. There was a study that was done on water molecules. I think this is amazing. Now, it's up for debate, you know, as you read different scientists, you know, whether they're in or out of this. But there has been a study done on water molecules. And literally, if I define it as simply as this, put water into two different jars and speak positive words in over one. Just speak positively into that jar. And speak negatively, like curse words, destructive words, into the other one. Whenever they freeze those, then when they immediately take those jars and freeze them, the frozen structures in the one that was positively spoken to are beautiful, open-form, crystalline structures. And the frozen molecules in the exact same water of the other jar are collapsed, destroyed, horrible structures. And that is an amazing experiment that scientists are looking at and have been doing. So words, literally in the physical realm, your words can affect the physical environment around you. They can also obviously then affect the spiritual and the emotional environment. Words go right down into the spirit or the soul of someone. We know that anytime negative words have been spoken over our lives, even from children, even from before birth, like people can carry those all of their life because they literally affect right down into the soul realm. And I'm going to read out a few scriptures from Proverbs about the power of our words. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's it. If you want to phrase right there, I know a lot of us know that, but if death or life, just like that water experiment, are in the power of your tongue, not God's tongue, it says in the power of your tongue, then you can literally speak that into your circumstances. You can take the word of God with faith and you can speak life into your circumstances. Or you can get so filled with your own negative thoughts, and if the devil will enable you to speak those negative thoughts out, it will start to collapse even further, just like that water experience, your own circumstances. The amount of people that speak negatively over their own lives, I'll never amount to anything, but this always happens to me. Or speak negatively over other people's lives, gossip and all of these things, so destructive. But Proverbs 18:21, death and life and part of the tongue. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Look at the power of words. You can take a volatile situation, and just by your words, you can completely reduce it down and bring it back into peace. Or, by using a different set of words, you can inflame it and stir it up into anger. We all know that. And many of us have had discussions. Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken. At this point, the word, the spoken word, I'm dealing with your spoken words this morning, not so much your thought words or your spoken words. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety, listen to this. If depression is in your life, anxiety in the heart of a man or a woman causes depression. You can trace it back to fear, concern, anxiety. But a good word makes it glad. Literally, a good word spoken into that anxious situation can completely change the structure of what you're facing and bring it to good. Just your word. And we're building up to your prayer life here. That's why it's so important now to pray out and to declare out, as Adam had said, about declaring forth the word of your testimony, for by it we overcome. Don't keep it in, speak it out. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, health to the bones. Look at that. Your words literally affect your soul, that's your mind, your emotions, and they also affect your bones. Physical. They bring physical healing and strength. That's why the Bible says, pray for the sick. Don't think over the sick. Oh, he or she would get healed. Literally, lay your hands on and speak. Declare over the sick the word of God, and it will become strength to their bones. So your words are so important. Now, we're meant to function as Christians like this. Again, here's an amazing scripture of where it all began in your life and my life spiritually. And we start our spiritual journey in this, but probably 99% of Christians then forget the way we're meant to function and for some reason go on a passive route of Christianity. And therefore, we've seen very little results in our life. We never really triumph over our circumstances. It's because we forget how to take the power of our spoken confession. Where it all began in your life, how you actually got saved in the first place. Can you remember it? And what the Bible said about how you were born again? Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the spirit, the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. Look, there's again the spirit coming in there. And the soul coming in there. And the joints and the marrow coming in there. And it's talking about the discerner, the thoughts. It's talking about the intents of the heart. And when God starts to convict you, he starts to speak his words in your life. It literally starts to change your life, the molecules in you, right spiritually, and it brings you then to a point where you need to respond to that. Respond to that again in spoken form. Again, just regarding the words of God, we're created in God's image. God himself speaks the word. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, even the worlds were framed and created by the word of God. That's the spoken word of God. So what a great scripture again. They were created and framed. They were given structure and meaning. God literally spoke every detail and the worlds. And the Amplified Bible brings out that word worlds refers to the universes, the worlds, and time itself, the ages. So literally even time itself is affected by spoken word. And that word from the Amplified says where he framed and created. It says put in order, equipped it, and intended its purpose. All by the spoken word. And so we can see how powerful that is. That's why when it comes to even us, names. Think of names. I remember preaching on them. I just saw names one time. And why names are so important. Because a name that you speak over someone's life, your name, literally has a meaning to it. It's a definition to it. And you end up speaking that definition over someone's life every time you call that person. You're literally speaking a meaning into their life, and you're shaping their identity. And that's why it's amazing whenever you find out the meaning of someone's name, and you go, you know what? That is so like that person. It's because all along you've been speaking that meaning into and over their life. It is so part, it's how the universe, how God's created universe works, the power of your words, the power of your prayer. I remember being in a meeting one time and had a very difficult opposition environment, a very difficult, treacherous landlord at the factory. He ended up being a man I had to have dealings with, and God miraculously recovered the situation, brought it from bad to good. And I have very fond memories of that time now. But his name was Mr. Illegitim. I've told you that before. In Romanian, that means illegitimate. And we have a slang word for illegitimate, and you know what? He behaved like one. That was just him. He just came in, and it was, and you've heard me talk about Mr. Illegitim before, but names are words that carry meaning and spoke it over your life. So the power of our words, where it all began, we're created in God's image. He's the one that shapes everything, frames everything. His words divide between spirit, soul, and joint and marrow. And then where it all began with us spiritually, I said, here's how we get born again. Having responded to those words that God's spoken over our lives, it's not long before our life comes to the point where we've responded to his word. And now we have to do something with our words to activate it for our lives. And again, this is how simple and amazing it is. A lot of us have maybe forgotten it, but this is how God's intended us to work. Well, the very first time that God spoke to us, he said that we are to confess with our mouth. Isn't that right? Believe in our heart and confess with your mouth unto salvation. And that's why we pray that Lord's Prayer. Look how important the spoken word has been even at the very start of your spiritual journey. And that's because Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the spoken word of God. And so we're created in his image. Everything revolves around the spoken word. Your salvation, your acceptance of your salvation, revolves around the spoken word. Healing, spiritual, thoughts, positive, negative, and the power that's in our words. So God wants us to speak. He wants us not to be silent, not to be passive Christians, but to speak and to use our words. In other words, in audible voice. God loves to hear our voice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word. When we hear God's audible voice through the word, it just, nothing can compare to it in our lives. And likewise, when God hears our audible voice, nothing can compare to it for him. He loves to hear your voice, like a parent hearing their child speak, maybe for the first time. But what a beautiful experience that is. God loves to hear our voice. He loves to hear us when we pray, when we cry, when we sing, when we praise. Have you ever thought about that? It's all about what comes out of our mouth. You can't praise God like this. You can't really cry with real healing effect with silent tears, even though silent tears happen. You can't really laugh with healing effect, but your voice, the noise, the audible voice is so important. And that release that comes, that authority that comes. Psalm 142, verse 1 says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. And there's a double enforcement. He says again, with my voice to the Lord I made my supplication. Not with my thoughts. I cried out to the Lord with my what? Voice. That's why get used to speaking. Don't ever get religious tradition thinking that you can even be silent in your prayers. I don't even believe that there are silent prayers in the Bible, like thought prayer. God knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of the heart. But the whole intention is because of like that juvenile lion, we have to use the biting force that God has put in our jaws, in our mouth. And it is as simple as that, but powerful. So with my voice, I'm doing my supplication, and I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. Psalm 3, verse 4, I cried to the Lord with my loud voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. The moment that you cry, how many scriptures do you think of that? I cried to the Lord. I shouted out to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. And it's just, whether it's praise, prayer, declaration, it's the fact that God loves the sound of your voice. And always, he will always hear you. And God wants you to know and understand and use now its reciprocal power. In other words, the automatic effects that happen through your words. So, when you speak, as we said right at the start, there's an automatic effect. You can never say something without it having an effect. Politicians try as they may to sit on the fence, not rock a boat, but you can never speak words that have no effect. It will either have a positive effect or it will have a negative effect. And that's just the way that it is. So, and God wants us to know that there is an automatic effect when we speak, and especially when we speak in faith. But look, here's a negative example of how that an automatic effect where God, literally because of he created you, he's not a man that he can lie, he will not be able to just, it's okay for one occasion but not another occasion. If we're created this way, automatic things take place. And here's one of them, Numbers 14:28, when the children of Israel were complaining consistently against Moses, the Lord says, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do it to you. The negative complaints brought an automatic effect upon their life. And so that's the case, and that's so true. Yet, so I remember that, never complain about yourself. Never let the devil get you to be down on yourself, because that's not God, that's the devil. Never get in the gossip about other people. That's not God either. It's the devil. But the point is, there's an automatic effect on your words. And how much more does God desire that automatic effect to be a positive outcome? That's why he's always wanting us to declare positively, take his word and declare it. Job 22, verse 28 says, decide and decree a thing. That's what the Amplified brings out. So think about it first, and then decree a thing, and it shall be established. Isn't that an awesome scripture? That word decree means to speak forth a thing, and it shall be established. Not think it, not hope it, speak it. And think first, a deliberate, careful, considered response to the words you're about to speak and the outcome that you desire. That's what that scripture is talking about. Deciding and then thinking about it and then decreeing. Joel 3 verse 10, we all know the scripture. It says, if you've got a situation that you need to change, how are we going to change it? By speaking, right? It says, let the weak say, I am strong. Exactly, say, let the weak say, I am strong, and that's got an exclamation mark at the end of it. In other words, declare, shout it, speak it boldly as words of faith. So if there's a situation in your life where you are feeling weak, it could be physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, relationally, whatever it is, don't accept that. That's not God's will for your life. That's an enemy that's coming to keep you bound, and the way through it is you speak to it. And you declare, I am strong. You speak to the circumstance and declare the automatic effect that your words of faith are going to bring and cause change to that circumstance. Amen? So it shows that, so again, right back at our spiritual journey, that's where that scripture is. Romans 10, 8 to 9, we said that even our spiritual salvation starts with our confessing. So it says that the word, Romans 10, 8 to 9, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see how important speaking it out is. So unless you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, you're not born again. You have not entered into salvation. So that's the way we've designed to walk that way, to learn that way. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Again, so it starts with salvation. Our Christian life should just continue the same way. In other words, the words nearest in my mouth and my heart. So I'm going to speak everything out from salvation onwards. Speak it out. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believed and therefore we speak." So until you have started to speak and engage the spoken word in prayer, in speaking good to somebody, in declaring change, nothing's going to happen. It ends up, it all focal point pivots around your spoken word. And God designed this power of our words of faith to be flowing through us, literally changing the things and the circumstances around us. So think right now of circumstances in your life that you want change to, that you know is not God's desire for your life. Just think right now. 1, 10, 20, because I've got all the many. Well, the only way the Bible says that we are going to see that situation change is that we first of all take the word of God and believe it and then speak it out. Until you speak it out, it's not going to change. And that answered a lot of things in my life. And that's why recently God reminded me of a set of circumstances I was facing. And the amount of times in my life I've done this consistently and always seen the results, and yet still you can forget it so easily. You can just get into the distraction of life, busyness of work, and you forget these things. And that's why we've got to keep it paramount in our life. That it's about our words, and God desires us to function like him. Beautiful scripture we all know, Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11, speaking of the Lord and the power of his word, he says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but they water the earth, and they make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to you void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." In other words, the thing for which I spoke it. When to send those words is you release it from your mouth. God releases it from his mouth. That word, remember, faith comes by hearing by the spoken word of God, and our spoken words that went forth from my mouth. So God's word contains the power and the creative ability for which he frames all of the worlds, and he's put the same function within us to take his words and to repeat them and to declare them in faith, then that creative force flows through your lips for the positive or the negative. That's why now we understand Proverbs, where it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They're not in your arm, they're not in weapons, they're in the power of your tongue. Hebrews 1, verse 3, God upholds all things by the word of his power. Pastor's often spoken about this. It's not the power of his word, it's the word of his power. In other words, all of God's power is contained in his word. And that's how he upholds all things, he just speaks. So therefore, keep the word in your heart and in your mouth. When God encourages men in the Bible to go and do exploits, he always reminds them to keep the word of God in their mouth. Can anybody think of one example? One young man that was about to take a nation into the promised land, and God reminded him of this. Joshua 1, verse 8. He said, "My word shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it in your heart, day and night. From Scripture, in the Old Testament, all to the New Testament, we always see it's about taking the word of faith in your heart and speaking it out of the mouth. So therefore, what you choose to say or not say literally makes the difference in your life. So if you want to change in your circumstances, and I was at a time recently, which I'll tell you about in a few minutes, I needed a change in mine. It will not happen by sulking about it, crying about it, going to God and just, oh God, I just feel so bad today. Because God knows the circumstances in your mind, your life. He knows the needs you have even before you ask him, the Bible says. It's not going to help going and talking to your friends. That might give you a little bit of temporary catharsis. But talking to your girlfriends or your guy friends aren't going to change your circumstances. It's going to be when you stand up and like that juvenile lion, realize the biting force in your mouth to take authority over the situation and you speak to it in faith. That's the only time that the devil is going to run and those circumstances are going to break in front of you, literally in front of your eyes. And when you start to do this, amazing things will happen in your life, which is why I said at the start, this is so important to grasp because it literally will transform your life. So choose to say or not to say, it's your choice, but it makes all the difference in your life. That's why the enemy, he wants to steal the word from your heart. He wants to take it out of your mouth. He wants to stop you declaring that word. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, lack of understanding the word and how it works. James 4 verse 3 says, you have not because you ask not. So believe it and speak it. So we're coming to a close here. Mark 11:23, again, this is a famous scripture having built up through the principle of our words. And you'll all know this when we read it out. When Jesus then is talking to his disciples, talking about prayer and how our words carry with creative authority with them, or whatever we say happens. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, Jesus has to himself turn to his disciples and say, assuredly. I mean, it would have been enough for Jesus just to say, I say to you. But he's telling us, listen to me. Listen to me. If you want things to change, listen to what I'm about to say. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now, he's talking about spirit. He's talking about circumstances in your life, not necessarily a physical mountain. Like, don't go down to the moors and try this. That's, he's not saying that. He's saying about a mountain that's come against your life, that you just can't see any way around it. That is an obstacle of the enemy. He's talking about that mountain. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt his heart, but believes that those things that he says, not thinks, will be done, he will have whatever he says. Isn't that powerful? The spoken word. And this is what Jesus knew. Jesus literally believed this, or he wouldn't have said it to his disciples. And he believes that you can do it and I can do it. Jesus literally believes, Kyle, that you can speak to your circumstances in faith and they will move. It's interesting as well, in this verse, God's not mentioned. It's just you and me. It's whatever things you speak to. Not, we already know God can speak to them. What about you? We're created in this image. Whatever things you say. And so, it's beautiful. I just want to close with Matthew 8:5-13. This is how now we understand. There was an instance in the Bible. When I look back at the wording of this, I get amazed. Because it literally says Jesus was amazed at this man. Amazed. I mean, Jesus, who knew all things, or God incarnate, amazed. What was it that amazed Jesus? It's the only time we see that Jesus marveled. That he literally was amazed at the response of this man. It was when he met a centurion. And the centurion, let's paraphrase it, you'll find it in Matthew 8:5-13. The centurion's servant was sick. And if you remember, the centurion came to Jesus. The servant was obviously lying far off in the domestic home somewhere. And centurion, Jesus said, "But pray for my servant that will be healed." And Jesus says, "Okay, I'll come to your house." And the centurion said, "No." He says, "Just speak a word and my servant will be healed." He says, I'm a soldier. I'm a man under authority. I understand the importance of instructions. All you have to do is speak it and it will be done." Here was a centurion who knew what it was to have to follow out the commands of those above him and have those under him follow out his words and his commands. So he said, "Just speak a word." And Jesus was amazed. He said, "Surely I have not found such great faith even in Israel." But this man literally believed that all Jesus had to do was speak it. He didn't even have to go. And it says that his servant was healed that same hour. So if you want your situations to change, like Hebrews 10, 23, hold fast to your confession without wavering. And finishing with the example that happened to me, last scripture I'll give you is 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So in other words, it's our spoken words, it's our spoken prayers of faith. We ask anything. And if we know that he hears us, and he always does, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. There was this is where God reminded me just of this word, how the power flows. And recently, I had an obstacle that had been 3 to 4 months in the making. And I'd seen no breakthrough in 3 to 4 months in this particular obstacle. And a few of them, actually. And I took hold of that word that God reminded me of, that word petitions. Literally, that word petition literally means written and spoken legal requests. That's what the word petition, when you go to a court of law, they will use the words petitions. So literally what it means is that we search the scripture. So if you have a circumstance you want to see changed to, read God's word, find some scriptures that confirm the promise that God would have for your life in that area. So if, for example, it was, well, there's just many. Find the promise of God for that particular area that you're struggling with, and start and write the scriptures out on a piece of paper, put it in your Bible, keep it between you and God on the basis that you're now holding up to God a legal request based on this word. Lord, your word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And take a few scriptures like that and put it, and then speak out those requests. And then speak those requests, thank God for it, ask God for it, and then continuously from that point, start to just thank God for answering that prayer. And every opportunity you have, speak that legal request to your circumstance. Just like the mountain, when Jesus said, speak to the mountain, you don't have to speak to God to deal with the mountain, you speak to the mountain. So, if it was a situation that you needed a change in, don't say, "Oh, Father God, I pray that you will just change the situation." See, we're praying that way. Now, ask God for what needs there are in your life. But the primary amount of our spoken words are to speak directly to a circumstance. In other words, the power is in your mouth now. Go and deal with it. So speak to the mountain, not to God. So you take the mountain, you take the legal, those legal petitions, the promises of God, and you declare it to your mountain. And you say, "In the name of Jesus, be removed and be cast into the sea. The word of God says X, Y, and Z." And you start to declare to that mountain. I did this again for those circumstances that I've been facing 3-4 months. And literally, as I did that, as I started to speak that day, and I spoke it boldly, I took myself away somewhere, only me and God could hear me, and I spoke it boldly, I shouted it, I just prayed it, whatever it is, audible communication, and literally within, before that day closed, breakthrough and answer had come to my situation. And again, it amazed me it astounded me so much. It shouldn't have shocked me, but it shocked me. Because I've seen this so many times in my life, but I'd forgotten it. And literally, before midnight of that same day, having 3 to 4 months of a delay, simply by speaking to that mountain and declaring from my mouth, take authority over it, the answer came. That was amazing. And the same thing can happen with you. So I want to really encourage you, that scripture on the power of your words, you close in prayer tonight, take it away. Start to use it. This morning, sir. Start to use it and see the results. I would love for you to bring testimony back to me and say, John, you know, I've started now to speak. I've started to use the power of my words in faith, speaking to my mountains. And you know what? Here's the change. Bring those testimonies. We overcome by the blood and by the word of my testimony. Amen? You've all got it.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.